Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. To get ready to hear from God as you enjoy
who's
the message.
Hero, right? I mean, really, Superman. Well done. Thank you, Laura. Superman and Batman. I'm not talking about the fictional heroes, but people who've really made a difference in your life. I've got people that I can name. I think, gosh, these are the people that were my heroes. You know, Jono, Nick, you know, and people such as them. Sorry. And people who made a difference, you know. People who were there for you. Maybe your mom and your dad are your hero. Maybe there's that person that was there for you when no one else was there for you. You know, they became the answer to your heart cry, the answer to your prayer. Lisa tells a story of a guy. She may have told it before, but you may not. I'll just mention him, right? But there was a guy in Lisa's life called Tony Potato. No, he's called Tony Potato. He's not called Potato. He's called Potato. And he was just a voice on the end of a phone that someone who knew Lisa put her in contact with, and her voice on the end of the phone that said, "Oh, get back to church. Get a Bible, come on," and just was there at the right moment. And now the name of Tony Potato is linked forevermore to Lisa's Fraser, just a hero, a faceless hero, but a hero all the same. And you know, maybe the person that led you to know Jesus Christ. You know, we can all name someone who was instrumental in that process. A girl called Andrea that I've been at school with was the person who took a chance of me thinking, you know, what are you talking about? Who are you? By stepping into my life to talk to me about Jesus when I needed to know about Jesus, and she forevermore will be connected to my salvation. She'll always be part of the story eternally, forevermore. You know, and we all need heroes, don't we? We all need a hero from time to time. And also, I believe this, that we're all called to be somebody's hero. Every single one of us in this room. You might even think today, I need a hero. You know, I need someone to step into my life and be a hero. You could sing about it if you remember the 80s. But we all, I believe God wants us all to become somebody's hero and to make a difference in their world. Amen? Do you believe that? This is good, right? And we're going to look right at over the next couple of weeks at the book of Judges. Say Judges. Judges. Say Judges. That's how it always comes out of my mouth. The book of Judges. And we're going to start today talking about Deborah and Barak. Say Barak. Barak. It's a good, you have to get your guts into that name. And so we're talking about Deborah and Barak. But the book of Judges is an interesting book. After the time of Joshua, Joshua was, let's go back a little bit, give you a little Bible study. Moses led the people out of Israel. No, he didn't. He led them out of Egypt, right? I need to just do a little bit more Bible study before I move on. Just check my facts. Moses led the people out of slavery in Egypt to the edge of the promised land, but because of their disobedience, they spent 40 years wandering around in the desert. When they finally got to the end of their 40 years, Moses died, and Joshua, one of his right-hand men, took over the leadership to lead people into the promised land. And then we have the situation at Jericho, the walls of Jericho. They marched around, and the walls came down, and they began to take the land. And Joshua didn't oversee the whole kind of taking of the promised land, but he got it started. And in the book of Judges, which follows on from Joshua in the Bible, Judges chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, this will come up on the screen, or you can turn to it in your Bible. It says, "When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen," say, "who had seen, all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel." I find this interesting, right? That in the days of Joshua, they're all like, yeah, we believe in God, we're going. We've seen something, and therefore we can keep going. because we've seen something of God. This is giving us an energy and faith to keep moving forward. And Joshua died, but there were people who knew Joshua who carried on living. And he says, while these guys were still alive, who remembered the amazing things God had done, while they were still alive, the people were still like, we're moving forwards. We can believe God for taking the whole land. But once the elders, once the guys who knew Joshua, once that generation had died and passed away, people started to drift away from believing that God could do something. So when the people were around who had seen God move, when they were around, people kept going. But while they died out, and once it became a memory and a story and part of history, the people began to drift away from entering into the fullness of what God had for them. I think this, that stories are good, right? But stories cannot replace a new experience of what God wants to do. I think this for your life, and I find this to be true from me from time to time, that if I go on in my life and I've just got stories, I just got some history, you know, I've got some things that God did in the history of my life which make for good stories. But if that's all I've got, then it starts to get vague around my life and about what God might do. And I think God, for all of us, he doesn't want us to live in the stories of our own past experiences of God. And he doesn't want us to live in somebody else's stories of what God did in the past. But he wants us to enter into a brand new experience of what God wants to do in the here and now. There are brand new stories. Brand new stories for your life and for my life that God wants us to enter into. Stories are no substitute for experience. And without a new experience of God's grace and power, people quickly drift towards substitutes. Judges 17 verse 6 is a verse that kind of summarizes the whole of this book. It says this, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Does that sound familiar? That doesn't sound just like history to me. Doesn't sound like, well, here's a history lesson. Oh, in those days, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It sounds kind of similar to our experience right now. It sounds kind of similar to what I see around me. It sounds kind of similar to the people that I know. It sounds kind of similar to the culture that we live in when there's not a king, when there's not someone setting the tone and setting the way forward. It's like everyone begins to do what is right in their own eyes. And I think we as church need to reintroduce people to the King of Kings, to Jesus Christ, to who he is and to what he can do, because people need to see there's another way forward. There's another life for people to have, because without the King, and we can say without the King of Kings, people drift towards the substitutes, their own ideas, do what feels good to you. Isn't that a funny thing that you can say, hey, what's true for you? That's great. It might not be true for me, but if it's true for you, go for it. I think that only can be taken so far before somebody's living a lie. I think hey, it's true for you, that's great, but that's not true for me, so I'm going to live with my truth. I'm like, what a crazy world that we live in, that we need to reintroduce. Be the heroes of this generation. Be the heroes of this time. This city, this culture, this time needs a bunch of people like you and me who know not just a history of what God has done, but experience him in the here and now. Experience his grace. Experience his love. Experience his favor, so that we have got a fresh experience of God to take into our world, because there's a world that's crying out. For what they don't actually know, they're crying out for, which is to know Jesus Christ, to know what they're here for. And in this time, God raised up urban heroes to save the people from the substitutes, to save people from the oppressors. They kept finding themselves under various enemies that had surrounded the land, and they're coming in and taking over and oppressing them. And God raised up these guys called judges. I'm going to call them urban heroes to save people from the oppression and to bring a fresh experience of his power and commitment. It says this in Judges 2, 16 to 18, it says, the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. The judges were people with an authority and a mandate to rescue the people. They're the answer to the prayers and the cries of the afflicted and oppressed. I want you to know that you're the answer to somebody's prayers. You're the answer to somebody's prayers right now. I need to hear some amens in this place this morning, because God has you on his mind to be the answer to the prayers of somebody in your world. They may not even be praying. They might be crying out in the midst of their trouble. And they need somebody who knows God, who just knows something of the grace of God, to step in, to not be so self-conscious, but to realize, God's put me in this place for a reason, to share the love of God, to share friendship, to reach in into their life. And God is moved by the cries of people in our city. And he's moved by our prayers, sending us as the answer. I think that's so funny that we can pray, God, will you move? God, will you do something in the city? God, will you go, God? And then we just, we're just making the pastor, and getting on with our lives and not realizing God says, go on then, people. Go on then, Hope City Church. Go on then. You are the answer. You're crying out, God, do something. He's saying, well, go on then. You're it. You don't have to come up with some great plan or strategy. You just have to take the love of God. You just have to say, you know what? I'm here, God. I'm available. I'm going to make a difference. There are people who are going to come to know Jesus Christ because of you this year. Because of you this year. I think that's awesome. And one of the things I love about the judges, right, that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks, is that they're all like flawed individuals. There's no mega hero. There's no man of steel. There's no, immovable person. There's no one who's like, wow, they are so perfect. Of course God can use them. They're flawed. They make mistakes. They do stupid things. Stupid things sometimes, right? And yet God still uses them. That sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. Because you look at yourself and you think, well, I'm flawed. I'm a bit broken. I do stupid things. Sometimes in the name of God. Sometimes I say, oh, I'm going to go for it. Here I go. And I've just made a fool of myself, right? And then we want to retreat. And I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to step out again. But God says, you know what? They're the people I can use. People who are the flawed individuals, the people who dare to do something a little bit stupid sometimes. God uses people like you and me. So I think there's some things that we can use. But God is raising us up in the midst of a generation that's crying out for real heroes that will bring a brand new experience of God's love, mercy, grace, and power to set them free from everything that would hold them down and hold them back from knowing him. God's raising us up. People, turn to the person next to you and say, God is raising us up. Awesome. Good, good, good. So let's talk about Deborah for a minute. Deborah, in the Bible, he says, one of the first judges that's talked about in this book. She gets the first, big story, proper big story. And I quite like that because some people think the Bible is just about guys and men. But anyway, I know a few strong women of God. I'm married to one, right? And sometimes we think, God's like, it's all Bible, it's all men. It's not. This is a woman that's not, it's not like, oh, there's no men, so God raised up a woman, There is nothing of that in this. This is a woman of God who's recognized for her leadership, for her wisdom, for her prophetic voice into situations. And people would come from all over the land to come and see Deborah at the palm tree of Deborah. Funnily enough, conveniently named. She's thinking, where shall I sit today? I know, I'll sit at the palm tree of Deborah, because that's my name. So she's raised up by God in a time when the people are under oppression. They're under oppression by this guy. Well, there's a king called Jabin, and he's got the commander in his army called Sisera. Say Sisera. Thethaba, and he says he cruelly oppressed Israel for 20 years with his 900 iron chariots. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of iron chariots, right? 900 iron chariots. But I find this very funny that they went for 20 years. 20 years of oppression before actually crying out to God, going, actually, you know what I think we need to do, guys? I think maybe it's time to cry out to God. I've had 900 years. I've had 20 years of 900 iron chariots. It's time to cry out to God. And maybe there's one or two of us here, right? And you've just been going months, years maybe, under something, with something going on. And you think, oh, I wish God would take it away. And I wish he would. And he's just saying, come on, why don't you just cry out? Why don't you just renew in your life a sense of prayer, a sense of calling out to God? Because he's not far off when we call out to him. He's not saying, oh, just another 20 years. He's not far away. When we call on him, he wants to send an answer. He wants to send a breakthrough. He wants to send a hero. He wants to send something or someone into your world. And Judges 4:4-5 says, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. First thing I want to tell you about urban heroes, and I'm talking to you, right, as people that God is raising up. The first thing I want to tell you is that urban heroes have a seat of influence. Urban heroes have a seat of influence. We're called to be people of influence. We're called to be people of influence who leave our mark on the world. You may not be, you know, it may not be a name up in lights, but it may be left your mark, that you leave your mark on somebody's life, you know, on somebody's world. Many of you, you don't even realize you already have. You know, you already have left your mark in someone's life in a positive way, many of us. But I think we need to realize that we are called to be people of influence. I love that it's the palm of Deborah. Now, I don't think it was called the palm of Deborah until Deborah sat under it. Before Deborah sat under it and spoke her words of influence, it was just that palm tree over there. You know, it didn't have a name until she sat under it and it became synonymous with the words and the wisdom that she brought. It was like, imagine that you so leave your influence and your mark that it something that has no name gets a name. Something that maybe has the name of trouble in someone's world suddenly has your name attached to it as someone who brought some love and some change and some deliverance. I think there's a world full of trees. There's a world full of situations and circumstances that are going to not be nameless anymore, but going to carry your name attached to them. Like Andrea, who is now attached to my situation. She's left her mark on my world. So many of us, in fact, all of us are called to leave our mark. There are situations in your world, in the lives of people around you that are going to have your name attached. Because you love God, and out of the love of God, you're going to reach out into people's lives in a new way. I love that. That she put that area on the map, made it famous by recognizing her influence. I love that. I would love more and more for Hope City Church to leave its mark on this city. Already as many people say, oh yeah, I went to Hope City Church and this happened and that happened. We're all here, many of us say, gosh, Hope City or Pastor Dave or what I received from these guys, that this church would leave its mark. I love that City Hearts is leaving its mark. The name of City Hearts is being attached to so many lives and their breakthroughs. People are being set free from human trafficking through this charity that's been birthed out of this house. I love that Phil was on TV this week. Phil was on TV this week. Give Phil a round of applause. He was on TV this week. And he was on East Midlands Today, talking about City Hearts. I said, how did you find out about that? It's because somebody knew about what City Hearts was doing and thought, these are the guys that could talk about how we help people who are victims of human trafficking. Who do we go to? Let's go to Phil. We're going live to Phil now. Live to Phil in our Merseyside studio. I absolutely love that. You know, that people like Phil and the team and City Hearts are leaving a mark where someone, it was just, there was no name attached, or there was the name of trouble or the name of a broken life, but it suddenly there's a new name attached to it. We're called to have a seat of influence, a position of influence. You've got to recognize that you're where you are for a purpose and a reason. I sometimes ask myself, who's actually looking to me? And you got to think about your words. Who's looking to me? I think God wants there to be more people looking to you, not just relying on you and wearing you out. But I think once we operate in the kind of influence that God wants us to operate in, our influence grows. If you use it, it begins to grow, and your influence begins to increase and have more impact, because good news does travel, and if someone's been helped, word about that travels. I know people who find themselves in their work situation, that they'll come to me and say, gosh, it's like everybody just keeps coming to me and telling me their stuff. It's because you helped that one person, and that one person went and told someone else, and now someone, and now suddenly you find over the coffee, over the kettle, someone's coming and saying, oh yeah, you say, how you doing? And most people would just go, oh, all right. And then suddenly someone finds out that you've actually helpful to them, and you're blessing someone. And so instead, when you go, how you doing? They don't just go, all right. They go, oh, well, do you know what? This happened to me today. And you find, oh, okay. And you suddenly think, gosh, I feel like I'm pastoring this place. And it's because the love of God is reaching out through you. And that's a good thing. Once you start using your influence, it begins to grow. If you're in the business world or the world of arts and media, we want you to grow in your influence, in not just with individuals, but in how you operate. You know, there's people in business, if you say, I'm going to have an influence in the business world, that I might even change the way other people do business, that the kingdom of God can have a real practical outworking. If you're, you know, in the arts and all that kind of world, that's kind of a dark and tangled mess, I'm like, well, there's people who need to be in that world, taking your seat of influence, in recognizing I'm not just here to express my gifting, but I'm here to make a difference. And just out of me taking the small steps of loving God and loving people, God is going to open up doors of opportunity and influence. There is much more influence for your life and for your world than you realize. If you think, I've got no influence, well, you just start taking a step to love someone, take a step to say, I'm going to apply this word of God into my situation. And I believe that your influence will increase exponentially to gather momentum, to gather ground. Over this next year, take your seat of influence. Recognize. I'll throw this in as well about Jesus, Ephesians 6, 4 to 7. God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Just say, by grace I've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, which includes this one, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He wants to show the world through us the immeasurable riches of his grace. Jesus has taken his seat of influence. And he says, guys, you are seated with him in Christ. There's not one person here who can say, I could have no influence. Because you sit in the ultimate seat of influence. Sat in Christ, however that looks in reality. You're sat and seated at the right hand of God, far above all rule, authority, and power. So you think, I can have no influence. You can have incredible influence. Incredible influence in your world. Incredible influence over your world. God, I'm operating. I'm not operating from, I'm in amongst the rubbish. But I'm operating from up here. I'm sat up here looking down, getting a new perspective on my life, because there's people in your world that need people who've got a different perspective to everybody else. Got a God's eye view, a Jesus' eye view of your world. Urban heroes don't always go it alone either. Because maybe you feel like I'm on my own in this thing, in this situation. Judges 3:6-8, she sent and summoned Barak, here he comes, Oh, it's just all words and names here. This is hard. Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kedesh Naphtali. There we go, it's good. And said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, take 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I'll draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I'll give him into your hand, says God. Barak said to her, good, well, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. I'm not going anywhere without you, Deborah. And some people look at that and go, oh, he's probably a coward, right? Probably a coward. I don't think he's a coward. I think he's clever. I think he's going, right, who's everyone looking to right now? Everyone's looking to Deborah. Everyone says, where's the word of God situated in our times? Deborah, right? Okay, I'm good at the strategy here, the military strategy. You're good at the kind of just knowing God thing, right? So what we'll do, if I'm not going without you, I'll go with you. Because if people see that you're with me, then they'll know God's with us and we'll have victory. That isn't a coward. That's a clever boy, right? That's a clever boy. And we're not called to just do this thing on our own. I want to say to you, some of you, it's okay to ask for help. I think there's many of us reluctant to ask for help because you think you're supposed to do it. You think you're supposed to just, I'm supposed to overcome this. Just me, it's victory. You think it's weakness to ask for help. You think it's a coward's response to your situation to ask for help. It is not. It's wisdom. It's the way to access God's strategy, God's help for you. Many of us, I think there's a bunch of people in this room, you're thinking, I'm going to work this out. If I go and tell anyone what my problem is, you just think I'm weak and foolish and I should be able to sort this out. No. We want to help. You need help. And if you need help, then it's not a coward's thing to ask for help. Because I realize this, that God builds teams. God puts people together. He doesn't just leave people on their own. Judges 3:31. There's this guy, there's this other judge, right? And there's like one verse written about him. Shamgar. Everybody say Shamgar. Shamgar, and Shamgar, I'll just read this verse. We're not coming up on the screen. I'll just tell you what it says about Shamgar. Shamgar the judge killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Congratulations, Shamgar. That's all we know about Shamgar. He was on his own with an ox goad, which is like a cattle prod. All right? And he took out 600 of the Philistines with a cattle prod. I think that would have been spectacular to watch. I'd like to see it. I'm sure parts of it were in slow motion. I'm sure there must have been. You know? And Chinese as well. He was Shamgar of the... Anyway, so I'm sure. I'm like, well, that's really impressive. But that's all that's written about him. Because if your general strategy is, I'm going to take my ox goad, I'm going to do it on my own, I think you'd be worn out. You might have one battle against 600. You might even have two, maybe three, if you're really good with an ox goad, right? But after that, you'd be like, I am done, right? I am finished. I've done some battles, right, on my own. There are some battles that I feel like I've faced on my own, right? But if that's your general strategy, there's going to be very little written about you and the impact of your life because you're not called to actually just be a wizard with an ox goad. You're called to say, I need some help. You're called to pull people into your world. You're called to say, do you know what? I can't go on my own. I can go if you go with me. It's not weakness to ask for help. It's actually God's strategy for your life and your world. Because your world needs you for more than one battle. So please, if you need it, help. Ask for help. Me and Lisa and some of the guys are going over to Preston in March. We're relaunching the congregation there because they need some help to get where God wants them to get to. So me, Lisa, Chris and Beth and John and Amelia are going to be the core of some guys going over Sunday evenings from March. And that's going to be awesome to work together to say we are going forward together. Okay, well, have a good time on your own. You can work it out. No, we can help. Let's help. I'd love some of you guys to be part of that and join in with that. Not every Sunday, but be part of the team, come and talk to us. But it's God's strategy to put people together. Going it alone can lead to independence, bitterness, pride, loneliness, feeling nobody understands me, stress. You know, me and Lisa went to watch, we actually went to watch The Box Trolls with them. I don't know if you've seen Box Trolls. If you've got kids, you may have seen Box Trolls. And it was one of these cheap cinema Saturday morning, £1.50 each, go and see The Box Trolls. I was like, I don't want to see The Box Trolls. I really don't want to see The Box Trolls. I don't mind watching kids' movies, but I don't want to watch The Box Trolls. I was like, this is for Emma. This is for our daughter. We go to see The Box Trolls, and I don't know. I think God heard my prayer because the actual projector broke down. Projector broke down. I was like, wow, God, you really do care about the small details of our lives. And as I really was like, I wish it was Big Hero 6 or something. I remember that thought, Big Hero 6, a new like animated movie out there, Disney movie. I thought, I wish it was that. And so the projector broke down, and they said, hey, guys, you can go and watch another one for no extra cost. You can watch Paddington Bear. Okay. Or you can watch Big Hero 6. I'm like, oh, Lord. Big Hero 6, Emma's not going to want to watch Big Hero 6, surely. Let's show the trailers. Emma, trailer, Paddington. Big Hero 6. So, which one? Paddington, Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6? Really, Big Hero 6? Look, watch it again. Big Hero 6. Let's watch Big Hero 6. I was like, God is good. God is real. He's alive. He's moving today. That's no old story. That's a brand new story. It's a brand new story, the grace of God. It's good. It's good. Preach it, hey? Point being this, then in Big Hero 6, there's six of them that are supposed to work together, but there's one guy who gets so head up about this situation, and he wants to go and sort it out on his own, and he goes, runs into it in his own emotions and tries to deal with things, but he finds he just makes things worse, and I think that's what happens often when we try to go it alone. We make things worse until we recognize there's a bunch of people around us that we're supposed to be calling on, supposed to be relying on, and supposed to be accessing for our life. Jesus, you could say, Jesus, was he lonely? He seems to be trying to do things on his own, but even Jesus, I found, he drew close to the disciples around him. He drew close. He had Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He was like, I'm going to go. I've got people that I'm going to go to, and I'm just going to be Jesus, right? And that he would go to. And so even in Christ, he's not setting up a model of independence. He's setting up a model of, I want people to draw near to me. Jesus says this in John 14, 18 and 23. He says, I'll not abandon you as orphans. I'll come to you. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and will come and make our home with each of them. The band or keys or guitar or whoever can come up. Some of us feel like we're on our own when help is at hand. I love that. That Jesus has not abandoned you. And maybe you need God to step into your life and situation, maybe even for the first time. He's not one who abandons us, he's the one who draws close to us. And there's people in our world who'll only go where God wants them to go if we go with them. There's a whole bunch of people in our world, in your workplace, in your college, in your uni, on your street, wherever they may be. And they're not going to go where God wants them to go unless we go with them. If we walk the journey with them. Unless we become the heroes. Not thinking I'm a hero, but just I'm loving people with the love of God. God doesn't abandon you. And we're here to draw close to others too. Just while Phil's sorting out his guitar, I'll give you one more, right? That urban heroes take the path towards victory ahead of glory. Urban heroes take the path towards victory ahead of glory. It says this in Judges 4, verse 9. It says, I'll go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory. And I think Barak's like, well, so what? So? You know, I don't know. She was maybe talking about herself. It's like, well, I'm coming with you, but people are going to talk about maybe you're not going to get the glory for it. Maybe I'm going to get the glory. And maybe he was talking about there was another woman called jail. And while Barak and Deborah are leading the army, Sisera, the commander of the army, runs off, finds the tent of this woman called Jael, thinks I'm going to be safe here. This is it. And she finishes him off. You know? But the point is this, that he's thinking, I'm not considering, am I getting glory? I'm considering, is this going to work? I'm considering, is this going to lead to victory? Is this going to lead to honor for God's name? Is this going to lead to people being free? I'm not considering, am I going to be on the pedestal at the end of the story? I'm considering, what's the best thing that could happen here? Sometimes I'm like this, maybe you are as well, that if you feel someone else is about to get glory for something that you've had a big part in, you kind of want to tell everyone, don't you? Is it just me? Yeah. You just want to go, oh, I did that. Oh, this is really good. Yes, John did really well on this. And you go, I did that bit. I helped him there. I just did that. You know, you kind of want it, don't you? You want people to know. You kind of want the glory, but we're not called to seek it out. I've had a phone call this week that was really tempting to say, oh, it was my idea. Someone brought something up, and I kind of wanted to go, that was my idea. I came up with that. And I just kind of go, oh, it doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter. Someone else can sing my praise if it's appropriate, right? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's just happening. So that's all that matters at the end of the day, because God's watching. For Barak, it sounds like it might be potentially accumulating, but he wasn't thinking about that. He was thinking, what's important, glory or victory? And our world needs to see people who aren't bothered about the glory, who aren't self-promoting. We can't build church on self-promotion. We live in me world, me world, and the world needs to see something else. Heroes who are not self-promoting, but who are more considering the victory, seeing people set free, seeing lives changed. I'm not on the road to personal glory. When so many are trying to think, I've got to get on the road to personal glory. That's how I'm going to get value. That's how I'm going to be, you know, recognized. So that's where I'm going to get my, you know, my true value from. And this is not saying don't be ambitious. I'm not talking about ambition or doing our best to become all that we can be, to use our gifts well. I'm talking about where our security and our value comes from. Our value and our security comes from knowing that Jesus Christ has loved us with an everlasting love. That wherever we go and whatever love we'll get from the world around us, there is a God who loves us eternally and forever, who's a father to the fatherless. And that's what you need to know, that he loves you. And that we could build a community that is full of that love, that's not about our own personal glory. Funnily enough, we're not thinking, oh, I can't wait till that tree has my name. We're actually thinking about what impact we can leave in the world, what mark we could leave in somebody's life, and let the glory come where it comes. It says this, because glory comes, right? It says, our light affliction, 2 Corinthians 4, 17-18, and we'll pray. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let me add, than any glory we could try and gain in the here and now. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I love at the heart of our gospel and our message is Jesus, who didn't take the road to glory, the road to self-promotion. He took the road to a cross. He took the road that was like, this is, I'm actually becoming smaller in order that someone else might be forgiven and set free and their lives might be turned around. I love that that's the example that is set for us of what true humanity looks like. He didn't take the road to, come on, put me on the pedestal. It was the road to put me on the cross. And ultimately, because of that, he gained glory, raised up the Son of God, eternally Lord of lords and King of kings. And for us, I don't know what God wants to do to raise us up and in the days ahead, but the road isn't to go, I need to be recognized. Somebody recognize my ministry. Someone recognize me. Well, I wish someone would just recognize me. He's like, no, I put myself into the hands of Jesus Christ. I find when we get our eyes on what God wants for us, on becoming the people that God wants us to be, then it changes our perspective on our own world. Paul, he's writing, this is Paul, 2 Corinthians, is written by Paul. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he had all kinds of stuff happen to him that's not going to happen to any of us probably in this room. But he had stuff happen and he said, oh, it's momentary light. I'm like, no, it's not, Paul. It's blooming hard and it seems to go on all the time. You're always being shipwrecked. You're always finding yourself in prison. You're always being beaten. You're always being let down. It's always going on. And he's going, it's momentary and light. I'm like, you can only say that. Either you're deluded or you've got your eye on something so much bigger. That God's spoken into your heart about something so much bigger that you are a part of. And I think if we can get hold of that, even now, that we are part of something so much bigger, that it can even change our perspective on our own circumstances. Something for some of us, it feels really big right now. It feels like this is going to go on forever. I'm never going to get out of it. But actually, I believe even in the next couple of moments as we pray, God can begin to change your perspective so that you can say, wow, it's not going to last forever. I can go through this, strengthened by my God. Come on, let's stand together right now.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.